On Thursday, South Africa celebrates 23 years of democratic rule. On the 27th of April, 1994, millions of South Africans queued for hours at voting stations for the first democratic elections. Archbishop Desmond Tutu hailed the Rainbow Nation. The world celebrated our unity. But is the dream of one nation in tatters as we see extraordinary political tension, racism across the spectrum, and students reenacting the 1976 student uprising? We discuss this with Dr. Faisal Suleiman, chairperson of South African Muslim Network. Dr. Faisal, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for the opportunity.
Dr. Faisal, did we fulfill the promise of 1994 when we became the beacon of hope for all countries who were struggling with the same issues as South Africa?
No, it didn't. It was never going to be easy to reverse 300 years of discrimination and what the colonial and apartheid system did, not in terms of redressing the past and ensuring economic, particularly economic equality, but in terms of mismanagement, in terms of where what we've seen in our country over since 1994. No, you know, I don't know that anybody would have predicted it. Perhaps, you know, when Smuts Nkonyama was questioned about some, let's say, dubious business deal or potential dubious deals, and he said, we did not struggle to be poor. Perhaps the warning lights should have started lighting up then. But I think we were so caught up in perhaps the Mandela magic, the honeymoon of a post-apartheid South Africa, that, you know, and civil society perhaps took a backseat when it shouldn't have, that we allowed the situation to foster and to ferment into the rot we now have.
The disenfranchised had high hopes when they made their crosses for the first time 23 years ago. But many black people believe the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Absolutely. You know, I suppose hindsight is an exact science. But when we started seeing, you know, BEE or the beneficiaries of BEE, or initially before it became even triple BEE, going to an elite, I think that was the time to have perhaps spoken out. But again, you know, circumstances were different then. You had a party that was all dominant, 67-68% of majority in parliament. And to some extent, and after President Mandela, an aloof and distant president with a firm hand on the country and even on some internal criticism. You're absolutely right. You know, what we saw was a transfer of wealth from one privileged group to essentially, which is now a little petty bourgeois, an elite. And now, of course, the new term would be a predatory elite. But you're right. I mean, the vast majority of people have not seen the dividends of democracy.
Many blame the current state the country's in, be it politically or economically, on the ANC, and more specifically, President Jacob Zuma. But then, where were the ANC leaders when corruption increased, when state capture became the national sport?
You see, we got to remember that even something like the arms deal started in President Mandela's presidency. Now, you know, we have this image of a saintly President Mandela, and of course, most of it for very good reason. However, whether he was busy, whether he turned a blind eye, etc., is debatable. But, you know, a lot of it already started there. You know, I think, you know, reading the book, the Confessions of Economic Hitmen, must be compulsory, to be honest, in matric for everybody. I think it must be an exam before you become a parliamentarian to have read that book and be able to answer some questions on it. Because the moment we started, I mean, we talk about now in the excess of 100 billion plus having been spent on consultants, you know. And that book will clearly explain in the most simplistic terms how this works, how, let's say, whether you know, we maybe not reduce it to a race to call it white monopoly capital, but let's just call it worldwide capital, you know, send its influence in different ways and already start managing and capturing the new leadership, not just in South Africa, but all over countries that are emerging, whether South America, Asia, here. And, you know, perhaps after Mr. Mandela, all this time that he spent, you know, perhaps behind the scenes with white capital made it all the more easier for their influence. You know, we didn't ever call it capture, but certainly for their influence, we saw the move away from RDP to GIA already. You know, the blooming of labor, you know, brokerage, etc., to bypass many of the laws that were meant to protect previously disenfranchised people. So, you know, already then you started seeing the influence of, let's just call it, Western capital. You know, a capital, you know, people who have money, irrespective of the race, want to preserve it, they want to grow it, and they want to make sure that it remains in their hands. So it would be a natural symbiosis for our capital, whether it was in the hands of whites, previously advantaged, or the new elite, to want to come together with others so that they ensure processes where it's protected and kept and grown.
There are many negatives over the past 23 years. However, there are also positives. Are we in danger of putting so much emphasis on the wrongs that we forget to celebrate the good that democracy has brought?
You see, look, it wasn't, the democracy wasn't a privilege. It was always the right thing to have. So, yes, there was a time to be all joyous that apartheid was over. But when people are starving, and this is, I think, important for us to really get to grips with, it is the makings of, we are in the makings of a potential revolution here. There is a large, disenfranchised, angry group of people who have just, you know, who watch Top Billing and who watch people eating sushi off a half-naked woman. And, you know, the adverts, everything on television, on our newspapers, glorify consumerism. They glorify the new, the elite, the brands, all of these things, this raw materialism. And so when you see all of that, and you don't have money to give your child to buy a, you know, bread before he or she goes to school, that is the beginning of a revolution. And it is going to come. Whether we celebrate, whether we think wonderful, we're going to have an elective Congress in the ANC soon, and President Zuma, you know, will be replaced, and soon he'll be gone from the presidency. The processes haven't changed. I don't know whether it's Nkosi Dlamini Zuma or Cyril Ramaphosa. Both are going to have the, in order to gain support, the politics of patronage that is going to get them elected is going to have to continue. So that means we're having the same process, just different people. And that is not going to solve our problem. It's not like as if, you know, unemployment is just going to be created overnight by Mr. Ramaphosa, or money is going to flow in. So the processes is what we have to look at. And you know, whether we want to feel good, yes, that's good, but it doesn't change, you know, for the ordinary person who is starving and who sees the Top Billing lifestyle. You know, it's not solving a problem. So yes, it's good that we are a nation of hope. Our religion teaches us hope. We are human beings by nature. We need to be hopeful and work towards that hope by prayer, by reforming our actions, by now speaking out against corruption. Not just Mr. Zuma. This is not just about Mr. Zuma. This is about the endemic. You know what has happened with KDA deployment, putting the wrong people, etc., etc. But then we also have to look at the alternatives. You know, is the DA going to do any better? You know, there's a different debate. But, you know, the DA and the EFF, the others, you know, those are the two parties we really need to be looking at. You know, if we don't, as a country, ensure that the processes change, all we're going to do is replace one person with patronage with another in a different form of patronage. And I don't think this is, you know, going to change. The starving people is not going to improve their literacy, their economic circumstances. So we're still looking down the same barrel.
As much as we face uncertainties at the moment as a nation, should we not also take notice of the fact that we can and do take to the streets to voice our opinions, that we can and do speak out against injustices?
Look, it has come very late, but it's good that the civil society has woken up. Some of the church leadership have started to voice their concern. The SACP, you know, they've backtracked a little bit, but are still sticking out a little bit. You have the formation of a new trade unionist movement, you know, hopefully an ethical one, that takes care of workers, and maybe it may evolve into a political party. One doesn't know yet. And so in that respect, you know, it is important that civil society is starting to speak up. You know, we have to be. I know certainly in KwaZulu-Natal, there's a large. In some cases, it's taken on almost a racial undertone because people are asking, would many of particularly the white unions have been speaking out if Gordon was, you know, wasn't black? I mean, wasn't Indian? If he was an African, if he was Nene, for example, you know. Or it was Minister Jonas and not Deputy Minister Jonas, and Gordon wasn't there, would still people be having this uproar? And this debate, you know, has substance. We may think it's not true, but in many quarters, this debate has substance and is an important issue. So, yeah, you know, it's not all clear-cut. One thing that mustn't happen is civil society's voice then wanes again once Mr. Zuma is replaced, because as I said, it's not the person, it's the entire process that has to be looked at, and for all our benefits, you know, if people want to maintain the middle class lifestyle, even from our religious point of view, Islam is a religion of social justice. I think people know very well he's not a Muslim who eats while his neighbor is starving. That, you know, it's clear, the Prophet has said it, peace be upon him, has said it quite clearly, and there are so many verses in the Quran and things of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that, you know, Islam is a religion of social justice, not just for our comfort, but for what is right, for what we are answerable to our Creator for, and therefore we have to be speaking out more, not just against Mr. Zuma, but against the process and the entire system that leads to this disparity.
Yes, certainly. Where to from here? We may be shaken, but we're not broken.
Absolutely. I think it's important even for communities to strategize. I think we must ensure that the civil society movement does not get captured, you know, does not get hijacked by look, there's a lot of fake news, there's fake posts, people being paid to troll, but there is also a lot of truth in what has happened in the past. Not just from the Gupta capture, but, you know, whether we call it white monopoly capital or, you know, I don't know that we should reduce everything to race, but let's just say those who were previously advantaged and presently advantaged, now capturing the state in different ways and maybe wanting to ensure that capture remains. You know, we have to speak out against what is wrong and be aligned to what is right. The question, of course, is you know, the natural question that follows after that is who are those right people? As I said, I have serious doubts about the DA and the EFF. You know, we have to look at the funding to save South Africa. We have to look at the funding of some of these movements, because, again, one doesn't want to be caught up in somebody else's large plot as well.
Certainly things that we need to reflect on and act accordingly. We appreciate your time this morning, Dr. Faisal. Jazakumullah khair for chatting to us.
Jazakallah for having me.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, certainly, listeners, so we are at a difficult time at the crossroads. And what will happen to us in the future has to be decided now in terms of leadership, in terms of taking up a position, setting up and putting an end to the rot. So we certainly have lots that we need to reflect on and decisions that need to be taken.